Welcome to Her Story on a Plate, a place for real talk about real bodies.
Let's dish about our complex relationships to food and bodies.
We are two experts in the field coming at this from an anti-diet, your body holds wisdom approach.
This podcast is all about changing the conversation we have in our heads and culture so that we can embrace ourselves fully.
Hi, everyone. We're so eager to talk about this topic today. Nina and I always get asked questions by our clients. It's been coming up so much. What do I do with the fact that I have a partner who's on their own weight loss journey and how it affects me as a partner, how it affects my partner? It's really a very hot topic right now. So, I mean, I think one of the things that we really need to just get out there is that we believe very strongly in body autonomy. And what that means is, without our permission,
you can do whatever the heck you want to do.
Exactly. Without our permission, you get to do whatever you want. There's no judgment. This podcast and the offices from which we operate are a completely judgment-free zone. That said, the actions we take have an impact on our partners and the people that we live with.
And it's interesting, as soon as you started saying that, the impact, I was thinking about some of the clients that I've worked with. And instead of like thinking sort of from this psychological lens, up comes this word inside of me that was, because literally that's the sort of sentiment that I hear from clients when they talk about their partners losing weight and how much space it takes up in their relationship. And how much space it not only takes up in their relationship, but in themselves with this feeling of like, oh, it's, I don't know, like almost like soul crushing in a way.
Dare we say it's weighty?
It is. It is. And so let's pull apart, like, what is that weighty feeling and that soul crushing that it feels so dominant in a relationship when it starts to happen?
Well, I mean, let's talk about the dynamics that we hear from some of our clients, right? And this is in no order specifically. These are just the things that come up daily. One is envy, right? There could be some level of envy. If my partner is going to have a body that's going to reduce, right? Will they see me differently? Will I still be as attractive to them? And by the way, is this going to kick in my own tendency to want to reduce my body size? Is this going to kick in some unhealthy method that I may go through just to keep up or keep it down as it is? And so how do you respond to that? You know, what do you do if you're the other partner?
Well, and there's so many different parts within what you just said. One of them is that envy, right? Oh, they are getting small. I might have tried my whole life to have a smaller body. And now they're on whatever diet, they're on whatever meal plan, they're on whatever drug. And suddenly their body's getting smaller. And wait a second, how is it so easy for them? How come it's all working and I've been in the struggle? And not only have I been in the struggle, but I've decided to step into what I call body peace, sort of that weight neutrality, that sense of this is my body as it is, and I'm going to accept it. And it's triggering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really activating.
Yeah. And you just mentioned something else, which is what is the type of weight loss that's occurring, right? So is it surgical? Is it by an injectable? Mm-hmm. Is it by an oral medication? Is it a weight loss plan? Whatever it may be. So what if you're a partner who has concerns about your partner's health? I mean, we hear this all the time. My partner really, really wants to have bariatric surgery. They really, really want to go on this drug. But I know some things and I have done my research and I'm nervous for them.
Have valid concerns.
And I'm afraid that if I share it with my partner, they're going to think I'm not on board or that I'm not supporting them or that I'm trying to somehow get in the way of what they want to accomplish.
Right. So how do you both be a supportive partner, right? I want to be wind in your sails. I want to support you in what you want, your version of happiness. And I have concerns from a health standpoint about whatever process you're going through. Plus, I'm kind of triggered.
How about that?
Because,
triggering is very potent for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I hear that a lot, that sense of, well, like you mentioned, are they going to still find me attractive, right? Mm-hmm. Should I be joining this bandwagon of getting bodies smaller? And one of the things that I often hear also is in the realm of social events. A client of mine said they went to a social event and everybody commented on her partner's body.
Let's name that, right? That is diet culture at its finest. Because people mean well, they think they're being kind when they say, oh my God, you look so great. Okay. So what's going through the mind of the person whose body is...
I'm eye rolling in case you're just listening to this on audio. So
I can affirm that she is in fact eye rolling. So what goes through the mind, first of all, of the person whose body is reducing? So let's see, they never used to say anything before. I can only imagine what they thought I looked like. Now they're saying something. I guess now they approve. Oh,
and right. Now I'm better.
And what if I can't keep this off? What?
Exactly.
Think about the pressure of all of that. As if who they are as people is somehow now different because their appearance has shifted.
Yeah. And Jenny, what you're speaking to is this place where we get into of, oh my gosh, now I have to stay small because look, finally I got the approval. Finally, I got the gold star on the forehead that says, yay, I am a good person. And now what? I'm going to spend the rest of my days hustling to be this size that everybody says, you are great. You are awesome. And one of the things that dynamics that I see a lot is people post this like before and after picture. Mm. And one of the things that I remind
I'm eye rolling now, by the way.
You're right. I can attest. Jenny's eyes are rolling. We should just like have like a pop-up. Eyes are rolling now. It happens a lot, right? So the before and after picture, what I remind my clients often is what we're seeing is the middle of weight cycling because there's a before, there's an after, whatever the process is to become smaller. But the truth is weight loss most often doesn't stay. It bounces back for a lot of different reasons.
So you can imagine folks that are listening to us now who say, yeah, I've heard this. I understand dieting is bad. It shouldn't be about good foods and bad foods. It shouldn't be about any of that. I know, but the truth is I'm just miserable in my body. Mm-hmm. And so I've been at this a long time and I'm going to do whatever I have to do now. Listen, great. Do whatever you want. What we're talking about is do it in an educated way. Understand some of what may occur, right? And now coming back to the partner that you live with or the family that you live with, because their experience of your journey is just something that needs to be acknowledged. Are you responsible for how your partner reacts to your journey? No, you're not responsible. But knowledge...
But there is an impact. Yes. There absolutely is an impact, right? And I hear you saying it loud and clear. Acknowledge that it's going to have a ripple effect, that there will be an impact. When your partner is standing next to you and everybody's complimenting you because you've lost weight, your partner's going to have some feelings.
Yes. Yes.
And
I think knowledge is power, right? So you have to know some things. So let's say that your partner decides that they want to reduce their body size with all the new injectables, because after all, they promise the promised land. They are wonderful for 3 seconds of mild discomfort, you can inject yourself and it's once a week and you'll stop yourself from yourself and your whole relationship to food will change. Now, what happens is that you're bypassing your own natural appetite, your own intuitive knowledge of when you're hungry, of when you're full, and when to act on those cues. But okay, if that's what you've chosen, it's what you've chosen. But be clear, if you've chosen it, it's for life. Because when you stop and say, you know what, this is just getting too expensive, or it's just a pain in the neck, I don't really want to do this anymore. Okay, great, sure. Hopefully, you're going to be able to live your life not in the before and after of that. Bariatric surgery, sure, it's also the promised land, right? It's going to stop me from myself, because isn't that what I want? I can't be trusted. I want to stop myself from myself. And you're going under the knife, and promise you that if you are someone who has tendency to eat in an emotional way, you will find a way to bypass it. So,
absolutely. I have seen that many, many times. And what you're speaking to also is this place when those things happen, right? When we have no appetite, when our stomach is smaller, when we're getting a very prescribed meal plan, it's going to impact mealtime at home. Mm-hmm. And mealtime, we want it to be a connecting time. We want it to be a nourishing time. We want it to be an enjoyable time. We would love for it to be a together time.
So this is interesting. I'm thinking of a few clients, as you're saying that, who have families. And now, by whatever means, the person who's choosing to be on a weight loss journey is hardly eating when they sit down for a meal.
Yeah.
And so the partner's concern is twofold. One, our kids are watching this. Thank you very much. They're watching you leave three quarters of your food on your plate. What is that about? How do we explain that? Because then when they want to do that, is that really intuitive eating? Are they really not hungry? Or are they mimicking, right? And then the second part of it becomes that food is cultural and it's social. And so you're sitting with a family member who's on this journey and they're barely eating, and it starts to affect your own enjoyment. It's not to say that your partner has to eat a lot for you to feel better about eating a lot. That's not what we mean. It's simply about you're breaking bread together, and the other partner could be done in 4 minutes because that's the plan they're on. Yeah.
Well, our podcast is called Her Story on a Plate. Our plate is full of history, of our heritage, of our community, and you're opting out.
Right.
You're opting out, and that has an impact. And it may, as you alluded to, Jenny, have an impact on children in terms of making it not okay for them to be in their bodies as it is. Oh, look, everybody's managing their body in this family, or at least one person is. Then maybe I should be managing my body as well.
If I had a nickel for every perimenopausal woman who has, let's say, anywhere from 14 to 18 year old child, and we'll, for this example, make them a girl, and they're saying things like, I don't recognize my body, it's hormonal, things are changing, I know I'm only really like X number of pounds heavier, but you know, I really, really want to go on Wegovy. Okay. And their daughter, on the other hand, is seeking out care because they're on this very, very, very anorexic-like, restrictive way of eating, right? Now, it's so easy to throw somebody under the bus. It's so easy to blame a parent and say, well, you know, what do you expect? Look what they're watching. It isn't that. We have to honor that there is intergenerational trauma where this is concerned, that we've watched dieting from other family members, from our culture, and it's really not, don't diet because your kid is going to diet. It's really about just give yourself a break here. Imagine if you can just accept your body where it is in this moment and just take a look and see, you know, is there something I need to do here rather than rushing to the quick plan. Yeah.
I love that invitation into embracing our bodies. And I've also seen clients be motivated by saying, I don't want to pass this along. I am done. And I have to say, in my own journey, a big part of saying I am done with the dieting was when I had kids and I was like, I can't pass this along. Not one more generation. I have to figure it out so that I am not the mom looking in the mirror going, oh, that belly. Mm-hmm. I got to do something about mm-hmm. that. So that my kid who's 2 years old goes, oh, my belly, and feels bad about it. Right? We can. It is actually a very powerful motivator to say, I want different for the next generation.
Yes, isn't it? You know, this is also a conversation about boundaries, right? The famous B word. This is boundaries. Because let's say, again, you're living with someone who is on a prepared meal plan, like the meals come as is, and your partner says to you, no, I'm good. That's what I'm going to have for dinner. And now you say, well, all right, that's great. I'm not eating that for dinner. I have to figure out dinner for me. Mm-hmm. There's something about that that feels like you're being left
separating.
There are situations I know of where one of the partners, let's say, is on the injectable, and the other partner says, you know what? You do you, but please mm-hmm. don't ask me to go to the drugstore to get it. Please don't ask me to interact with it. Don't ask me to help you inject yourself. It's not that I don't want you to be happy, but you know what? It's too triggering. I know what I know, and I can't not know what I know, and so I can't stop you, but please don't ask me to be a part of it.
Yeah. The other thing that I see happening, and you sort of were leading into it when you were talking about how one person is eating, this is what I'm eating, you take care of yourself, is that the partner who is not on the weight loss journey feels like, well, I can't eat very much around this person because I somehow have to match them. And then what I'm seeing happening is secret eating.
You bet. I'm so glad you said that.
Right? I can't eat in front of my partner. So now I am left eating secretly in the car, somewhere else, stopping for whatever it is that I can't eat in full pleasure, in full daylight with my family member. Ouch.
Big ouch. Or they're in a social situation, right? You go out with some other couples or you go to a party or a gathering. And once everybody's finished commenting on your partner's change in body size, right? The entire mm-hmm. conversation for the whole night is about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because imagine you're sitting at a table in a restaurant. We've all seen this. You're sitting at a table of restaurants, four or five couples, right? And somebody is most obviously doing this. Now, every time someone orders food or eats food, they feel like someone's morally judging them. Well,
right. Oh my gosh, I shouldn't be eating this. Right. Ooh, I'm having a cheat day. Oh, I'm going to feel terrible about this tomorrow. There's all this like out loud shaming and blaming as though to signal, no, I know I'm being bad. You're not being bad. You're actually eating a meal. And that is fine. Right. And also at the table is, well, how are you doing it? Well, what exactly are you taking? Well, what exactly are you eating? There are a million, there's another eye roll from Jenny. There are a million other things to talk about that are way more interesting than how somebody is controlling their food and controlling their body.
It's so tempting, right? You're with someone who's clearly accomplishing what they wanted, and all you want to know is, mm-hmm. how'd you do it? I want to know how. What's the quick fix? Why do you want to know the quick fix? Because most people have been through 40 quick fixes, but this will be the one. No.
This is it. This is the one. Okay. So I'm going to interrupt us for a second and do a PSA for do not comment on somebody's body and do not ask them about what they're eating, what they're not eating, or what drugs they're taking, if they're taking drugs, or if they had surgery. It's not your business. That's my bossy PSA, is stop with the body and the food commenting. Just stop. Besides, it doesn't help anybody.
Besides, think about all the other things you could compliment someone about, right? Whether it's about their sense of humor or their intellect, or they just look beautiful, whatever that means, right?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, there's 15 things you could pick if you really want to compliment someone that has nothing to do with body size or a shift in body size. You know, I remember when the singer Adele lost a very large amount of weight, right? Most people looked at that and said, oh, doesn't she look fabulous, right? I looked at her and I said, oh God, she's now going to have to withstand the entire public at large comment all over social media about what she used to look like, what she does look like. Is she it off? How did she think she could sing when she looked that way? Is this going to last? I mean, it becomes like a public square. Like we all talk about it.
Right. Well, again, women's bodies get objectified, right? And it becomes the thing that's for sale, the information about somebody's body. And that is just so painful. I want to go back to what you were talking about when you said, you know, there's so many other things that people could say. My favorite thing to say, and actually to have somebody say to me, is I'm so happy to be with you.
That's beautiful.
Like I melt. Because really, we want to be with people because we're happy to be with them. And when someone says, I'm so happy to be with you, I'm like, oh, just being is enough.
Yeah, someone once said we are human beings, not human doings.
So yes.
It's very nice when we can be, right?
When we can be, we don't have to do. We don't have to hustle for just the right kind of body in order to be acceptable. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch on another issue that comes up when there's a partner who's getting smaller. And that is if that partner that's getting smaller is a man and the other person in the partner is a woman. What I hear often is women saying to me, but my partner, my husband, my boyfriend is smaller than me. I am bigger than him. And I just feel like I'm not attractive. I don't want to get naked. My body is bigger. And there's so much to unpack in there. One is the whole comparison, which we will get into in another episode, compare and despair. But the other piece is this archaic idea that women are supposed to be petite and very feminine and super cute. And we should be light enough to lift over the threshold.
Not only that, you know, you're reminding me that I'm a tall person, although I probably lost an inch somewhere along the way, but I'm a very tall person. And for years, I would not date a man who was shorter than me, which now, of course, it's,
and there it is.
But it's just the cultural aspect of, oh, men are supposed to be bigger. They're supposed to. A woman will feel more feminine if the male is bigger. So yeah, this comes up all the time in weight loss journeys too, of course.
Right. Yeah. So the man is losing weight. And now suddenly where the woman was like, you know, I'm an okay size. My body is fine. Now my body is too big.
Let's talk about one other thing that comes up a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
Is my partner now going to find me attractive?
Yes.
They are getting smaller.
Getting all the attention.
They're going to feel better about themselves. They're going to feel more attractive. And I'm now going to be seen as a schlub. And are they more likely to now cheat on our partnership or on our marriage? I hear this all the time. And I would say that if that question arises, there's probably a deeper question within the relationship that preceded the change in body size, but it's a real fear. As if to say, body size is the only way in which you will judge me, this partner that I've been with for however many years. And as soon as that changes, everything else is going to change. Think about what we're saying. This is nuttiness. It's crazy.
Right, that your entire worth as a human being in the relationship is based on your size. Now, most real relationships, authentic relationships, that is absolutely not the truth. And yet, one member of the partnership, that may be the belief that comes up. So let's wrap up this conversation by, what would we suggest? What would we say to somebody whose partner is losing weight, and something we would say to the person who's losing weight? What do we suggest?
Well, first of all, again, to repeat ourselves a bit, if you have a partner that either has discussed with you or has just decided that they're going on this weight loss journey, to be able to say to them, okay, I support all things you do, and I love you the way you are. I'm going to love you however you turn out. And I'm going to let you know if there's something about this that either concerns me on your behalf, that scares me on your behalf. You'll have your own choice about whether you want to make a change in it, but I'm going to let you know because I love you. So I'm going to tell you that, not because I'm jealous or not because of anything other than the fact that I care about you and I love you.
Right. It's calling into a deeper authenticity in the relationship.
Right.
There's something that could create a rupture in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And what it's calling us to do, if we're in that situation, is to actually lean into each other and say, this is what's happening for me. These are the feelings that are being brought up for me. These are the beliefs that are coming up around my sense of worth or attractiveness. Let's talk about this.
Let's talk about one other very controversial thing. Let's say that your partner says, all right, I've embarked on this weight loss journey. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. I'm committed. That's it. And let's say that you, as the partner, secretly think to yourself, oh my God, about time. Really glad they're doing this. Because you know what? Mm-hmm. I have concerns about them. Okay. We know that you love your partners. I ask you to be just conscious of the idea that health is not judged by body size, that there are so many other factors to judge this by. And this is a whole conversation unto itself.
Yes.
But there are wonderful books out there about health at every size, about weight neutrality. There's one I really like called Fat Talk, which is just a great primer for most people. There's lots of them, but go in educated. You know, you're allowed to think what you think. You're allowed to feel what you feel, even say what you want to say. Just know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And be aware of the impact on the other person. Yeah. Our bodies are a place of deep sensitivity, right? We take it personally because it is personal. It's our body. And so to be aware that these conversations are sensitive and they require incredible tenderness and vulnerability.
And kindness.
And yes, curiosity. And kindness.
People that work with me know that I'm very famous for saying, stay curious. It may not
be
what you think it is. Just stay open and curious. And in the end, please be kind to yourselves and to others. Sounds like a holiday PSA, but I really do think that.
That's a perfect way to end.
Yeah.
I hope this conversation was helpful and look forward to seeing you on another podcast. And please share it with your friends and your dear ones. Thanks for listening to Her Story on a Plate.
Keep in touch with us at herstoryonaplate.com.
We'd love to hear from you.
See you next time.